Informed Dissent, the intersection of healthcare and politics, with Dr. Jeff Barkey, board-certified primary care physician, and Dr. Mark McDonald, board-certified child, adolescent, and adult psychiatrist.
All right, Mark, welcome back to another great episode of Informed Dissent.
Hi, Jeff. It's a little nipply out here today. It's getting down to sub-zero temperatures.
Exactly. You know, a few weeks back or maybe a month back, I had a couple folks on my Instagram feed, Instagram Live, and we talked about, I think, a really important health issue for women that isn't talked about enough. And that is the issue of breast implant illness. I've seen it. I know people that have seen it. I know people that have experienced it. And it's a real problem. And unfortunately, not enough people are talking about it. So we have Amanda and Robin on tonight, and they have become somewhat of evangelists to educate women about breast implant illness. So Amanda and Robin, welcome to Informed Dissent. So Robin, first tell us your story about how you got involved in this and why this is now a passion of yours.
Yes. So I actually had breast cancer in 2017, and I chose to have a double mastectomy. And I really didn't want additional surgeries or anything. It was kind of a point in my life where I was really busy being a mom and just, you know, raising my family and kind of getting my kids out the door. We were almost empty nesters. And so I didn't want reconstruction, but I didn't realize plastic surgeons really push the breast cancer ladies into reconstruction, really without knowing like my lifestyle choices and stuff. So, you know, I would have never made the decision if I knew everything that I know now. So I had tissue expanders put in with my double mastectomy, and I had those in for 3 months, and then I got breast implants, silicone smooth implants, and my health just tanked. It happened very quickly. I had over 24 symptoms that ranged from headaches, insomnia, joint pain, chest pain, difficulty breathing, difficulty swallowing. I had skin rashes. My hair was falling out. I was having heart palpitations. I was a mess. Wow.
What did the doctors tell you about the silicone breast implants before they were put in?
Nothing. I was told they were safe and FDA approved. And they didn't tell me that I could react this way. They didn't tell me that there were multiple cancers that are associated with breast implants, even though they've known about these cancers for over 30 years. So I didn't know what was going on. And I didn't do chemotherapy or radiation. I opted out of all other treatment besides surgery. So it was really difficult for me to understand what was happening, because all I did was have surgery. Yet I felt like I was in chemotherapy. I just was really sick. And I went back to my plastic surgeon 4 times to tell her all these problems I was having. And her solutions for me were to give me pain pills, muscle relaxers, sleeping pills, and gabapentin. None of which I took, because I'm like, this doesn't seem right. And then I actually met another breast cancer survivor who actually had a breast augmentation 2 decades earlier, and she became very sick from her implants, and she figured it out, went to have hers removed, and found out she had breast cancer. So she not only had her implants removed, she had a double mastectomy and just stayed flat. And so when I met her and realized what was going on, I couldn't get mine out fast enough. I only had them in for 4 months. So...
And after removal, did your symptoms resolve?
Every single one.
Wow.
Yep.
What is this due to specifically? Is it a rejection of a foreign body in the body, or is it due to a failure of the breast implant, meaning a leakage? Because I would assume that it doesn't really matter what's in it, whether it's saline or silicone, as long as it doesn't leak, the only part of your body that touches it is the packaging. So I would assume that it's the packaging that's causing the problem rather than what's inside, assuming it's not leaking out, which would, of course, be a failure of the material.
Correct. But mine were brand new. They were only 4 months old. They still look brand new. I have them.
So what do you make of that? They weren't leaking. So what was the problem? What causes this if it's not a leakage? And why would it matter if it's silicone versus saline? This is something I've always wondered, and I've never really understood well.
And I love that question, because the first part of the answer is they've never been properly studied, which is very unfortunate. Even though silicone implants were taken off the market for more than a decade, When they put them back on, they never followed patients. They never tracked or monitored their health. I don't think they want to know because they know women are getting cancer, women are getting sick. But they are, both silicone and saline are contained in a silicone shell.
Okay. So that's part of the answer.
It is. And the manufacturers even say in their educational materials that that shell breaks down, that shell leaches chemicals into the body. And there's a ton of carcinogens, heavy metals that are leaking out of these implants. Even if they're not ruptured or broken, they're perfectly intact. And my body just wasn't having it, as well as many other women. Unfortunately, I mean, I feel very fortunate that I got sick so quickly because I was able to get them out so quickly. But I've met women in this space that have had them for 20 years, and they've just spent hundreds of thousands of dollars chasing a diagnosis, seeing multiple specialists. Nobody can figure out what's wrong with them. Because there's really like not a test for it. It's really just
right.
You take them out and see if you feel better.
And Amanda, what about you? What's your story? Why are you now an advocate for breast implant illness?
Well, I'm speaking out because I had just happened to work in the beauty industry, specifically plastic surgery, for over 20 years. So when I figured out that my chronic illness, 7.5 years, so very different than Robin, I was sick for a long time and couldn't figure it out. When I figured it out that it was my breast implants and then having explanted in 2019 and recovering from over 40 symptoms, I felt like I had to speak out about this because I had never had any patients come into any of the offices I worked in complaining of these same symptoms. I realize now it was because, like, much like me, I think I counted at one point 67 different practitioners over the course of 7.5 years, both Eastern and Western. I spent hundreds of thousands of dollars. I didn't leave any stone unturned. I just don't think enough people were talking about it at the time. And so when I got into these support groups, upon speaking with a woman, it was a colonic practitioner actually that I went to. And she said, I think I know what's wrong with you. I think it's your breast implants. And I was a little defensive at first. I said, did you see what I do for a living? And she said, yeah, but I've had 11 women lay on this table. They look and sound just like you. And when she says look, there is a definitive look with a lot of the women who have breast implant illness. The inflammation can be so great in their bodies. I know for me, I'm a small framed person, but I gained at one point about 58 pounds of inflammation. The scariest part being that none of the Western docs that I saw seemed to think that this was scary or abnormal. They kept telling me, oh, it's normal. You're just gaining a couple of pounds. I said, no. Inflammation on this level is not normal. And so there were so many hundreds of thousands of women in these support groups that I just said to myself, I've got to like go back for them. I'm not going to leave them alone. I became a health coach and I decided I would never work in a plastic surgeon's office again. I only worked the last 3.5-4 years just helping women to explant.
This episode is brought to you by Rogers Hood Apothecary.
Here are 7 signs you may have a parasite. My biggest issue, because I did have parasites, was teeth grinding, skin irritation, and unexplained digestive issues. The other indication that you could have a parasite is eating after 7 p.m. and craving sugar. My name is Kim. I'm the Worm Queen and the inventor of the Parify Kit. Let's go over it. Parify, it's your parasite cleanse. Sustain, it's your candida and your bad bacteria cleanse. Metal Flush, it's your heavy metal detox. Cinnabon, it's your binder. The kit comes with instructions. We have a nut-free option. We ship worldwide. The Parify Kit is for ages 3 and up. Use IDM as your 10% discount code. Find it on rogershood.com.
I imagine there's, I don't know what the numbers are, but hundreds of thousands of women in this country that have implants. Some would argue many of them, if not most of them, feel perfectly fine. Is there a test, blood test for inflammation or some other testing that can be done to look at the effects of the breast implants? And do you think somebody who feels okay or thinks they feel okay and they've had implants for a while should do anything about it? Should they still have their implants removed?
It's such a tough question. I think, unfortunately, because of a lot of patients don't even know that this is a thing, they might think they're fine with their implants and they might be functioning just fine in their daily lives, right? But maybe they have Hashimoto's. Maybe they've been diagnosed with an autoimmune disease or two. Maybe they just feel tired and like out of shape, or, you know, I'm hitting middle age now and I'm in a stressful job or a stressful marriage. I think women chalk it up to a lot of different things and they're just really, truly not aware. Unfortunately, there's not a test to see if you have BII. A lot of our women do try to look for some kind of diagnosis that's explaining their health problems. A lot of them, you know, their ANA markers are elevated or their labs come back abnormal. And really, it's recommended by the FDA to get the integrity of the implants, you know, monitored by having an MRI. But that cost is out of pocket. And a lot of women aren't doing that, even though it's recommended to monitor your implants. Insurance doesn't cover it. So women just kind of blow it off. And if the implant companies and the plastic surgeons aren't tracking these patients and the FDA isn't tracking these patients, no one's even letting them know what to look for, that this could be a thing. And we have been asking the FDA, I've been asking personally for the last 7 years for them to issue a Dear Healthcare Provider letters. You guys know as doctors that the FDA is in their jurisdiction to send those out to alert the medical community about products that are unsafe or causing harm. They now have a black box warning on every single breast implant, but the FDA just has not taken the steps to get that letter out to practitioners. So when women, you know, like Amanda said, she worked in the industry. The patients aren't coming back to their plastic surgeons. They're going to an endocrinologist. They're going to a dermatologist because their hair is falling out. They have rashes all over them. So their plastic surgeons might not even know this is happening because they're not coming back there. They're going to all these other specialists to try and figure out why they're having so many problems.
Yeah. And a lot of these symptoms, especially like the symptoms that I had, my hair was falling out. I had an irregular heartbeat, you know, lymphatic stagnation. These are also, you know, your detox pathways being congested. And I've actually seen thermography where I know that to be true. And I can say that like most of the symptoms for me were just that. Now, could another woman have breast implants and maybe because of just her toxic bucket not being full? You know, for me, they were my kryptonite. That doesn't mean they're every woman's kryptonite. For some women, it's Botox. For some people, it's just their lifestyle and the way they eat, and they don't even have any implants. You know, we all have a tipping point, our body. And so I always say to women, we're not trying to make anyone fearful. We're not trying to judge what your decision is. Obviously, I mean, I got them. We just want women to know, in case you have not been feeling well, if you look at the list of symptoms, the breast implant illness, which again, can be the symptoms of other illness as well, but you're not getting any answers, or your body, like say you're trying to heal your gut and it's not healing, or you have chronic infections, you might just want to consider it could be your breast implants.
Assuming they have symptoms and it's believed that they're due to breast implants, does insurance cover the cost of removing them?
Typically not. For breast cancer patients, yes, because due to the Women's Health and Cancer Rights Act, we are protected by insurance. So insurance will cover all of our reconstruction surgeries, including explants. So mine was covered. You know, a bunch of us traveled to the FDA in 2019. They had a two-day hearing on breast implants. And since a lot of information has come out since then, and then we had a recall, a massive recall of the Allergan textured implants, we are seeing more and more women get insurance coverage for their explant surgery, especially if they have chronic pain that's been documented in their medical records, or they have capsular contracture, which is basically your body builds a scar tissue capsule around the implant. And sometimes the reaction that your body has is for that capsule to become very hard and calcified, and it's very painful. So if you have what they call stage 4 capsular contracture, you could get it covered, or obviously if you have a rupture. But I am hearing from plastic surgeons that if the women are having problems with illness and they have the Allergan recalled implants, some insurance companies are starting to cover that now too. So I think it's coming. It's just too slow because some of these women, you know, they're so sick, they're unable to work. They can't even save the money to pay for their surgery. And the manufacturers, they have zero accountability. They're not helping any of the patients at all.
Right. Of course not. Now, you know, with the exception of cancer survivors that have reconstruction and implants, obviously women put implants in for a variety of reasons. They want to look better. And the concern I hear is explant surgery. First of all, it's more difficult than implant. It takes longer. It's more expensive. And what am I going to look like after I have these taken out? What do you say to women that have those concerns?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that for me, I got breast implants because of a minor breast deformity. So for me, even though I never really wanted to get them, it did resolve that. So I had normal looking breasts. So upon having to remove them, first, I always want to say this, when you get sick enough, you truly like, I didn't care what it was going to look like, to be perfectly honest. I just was wanting to live and be healthy and feel normal again. But I did, because I had the experience in plastic surgery. Yeah, it was a little shocking to me at first because I was going for consults in Beverly Hills. And as we know, that is the cosmetic capital of the world. And so I felt like, whoa, I'm in the perfect place to have them removed. They're going to be so, you know, well equipped to handle this. And, you know, the first three surgeons I spoke to said, this is not real. These women are all making this up. This is a social media phenomena. And, you know, we're not going to remove your breast implants because you're not going to be happy with the way it looks. You're going to be deformed, which isn't really great to say to somebody who's actually already been through all of that. And we're not going to do it. And so I just knew that those weren't my surgeons. And the fourth one that I spoke to said, you know, I think it's time we remove them and leave them out. And, you know, he was a reconstructive surgeon. So I also felt like he had even more experience. I did a breast lift afterwards and I watched him over 4 years remove a lot of breast implants. Some women who had tissue left over and they could do a lift, and actually so many of them, I would say 98% of them were happier with the way it looked afterwards and they felt so great. Now, for a woman, though, who doesn't have a lot of tissue, it might not even be possible to do a breast lift afterwards. There's just not enough. And it is heartbreaking to me. There are women who really love their implants. I didn't, but it's really emotional. And that's why I held their hand through everything, because, you know, dealing with that before having a surgery like this is really, really important.
Now, when you came on my Instagram, I don't remember, a month or so ago, I asked that same question. What do women look like after explants? Just a ton of extra tissue. They look terrible. They're unhappy. And you brought some pictures and I showed some pictures.
I showed you my pictures.
Okay. Yeah. It's surprisingly good. It's not a bad outcome. It does not look bad. No. And in the right hands, it's perfectly acceptable. It's not some horror show of plastic surgery.
I'm wanting to bring light to this, because had I listened to those first three surgeons who told me I'd be deformed, many women listen to that. And many surgeons are saying that. And so they keep them in and they continue to get sicker and sicker and sicker. And so that's the only reason I like to share that, to say, like, listen, I didn't listen to them. You know, I didn't. I did my research. I felt like I chose the best surgeon for me at the time. And like I said, though, sadly, if you get sick enough, you just want them out.
Allison, yeah. You mentioned breast lift as an alternative to implants to enlarge the appearance of the breast. Are there other alternatives, like, for example, transferring fat from one part of the body to the breast? I know that's done in other surgeries. I'm not familiar at all with plastic surgery, even though I could walk to Beverly Hills from where I live. I actually avoid that part of Los Angeles, the Golden Triangle, because I feel very uncomfortable in it. It feels very artificial and narcissistic and entitled. And I think that triumvirate is really the downfall of our nation. And it started in Beverly Hills. So that's my bias.
And I agree with you, Dr. McGill.
Half of my patients come from that environment, and that's why they're miserable. But I'm curious, and since you worked in that industry, I thought you might be able to answer that question.
Yeah, you know, and fat transfer hasn't been around as long, and it hasn't been as popular as breast implants. Breast implants were just so much more, you know, easier to do. I actually knew a surgeon who was one of the first surgeons doing a lot of fat transfer. And when I got my breast implants out, again, I was just so happy to be feeling better. But the left one did leave what we call contour deformity. And we do see that in a lot of patients. It's like an indentation, a rippling afterwards. And that is not necessarily, it's not the surgeon's fault necessarily. It can just be because you don't have enough tissue, et cetera. So I had this little funny corner to my left one. And I almost didn't fix it because I just didn't want any more surgery. But on the other hand, I also didn't feel like I was being authentic, encouraging other women to take their implants out, knowing that I kind of had this funny little area. Long story short, I had the surgeon who removed mine do a little fat transfer a year and a half later. I don't even have a lot of fat. He had to take it from my knees, but it was just enough to fill that concavity in, and it did work. This is my concern, though. One is a lot of the women who are coming in, and again, women get their breast implants out for a myriad of reasons. But the ones who are sick, it's already a long surgery because, like Jeff already said, it's a longer surgery. They have to, you know, fully remove the capsule and to do a breast lift. It can take a lot of time. Adding on even more time when a patient's sick and having that long of a surgery, not a great idea. Also, from a health standpoint, since, you know, I'm a health coach, I know that toxins reside in the fat. So my concern would be, and this is just my opinion, that if you would do a fat transfer at the time of explant, you might be taking fat from another area of the body that has toxins in it and putting that into your beautiful breast tissue. And so for me, I waited a year and a half. I fully detoxed. I did infrared sauna to get any chemicals that might be in my tissues out. Again, I did not have a rupture either, but that doesn't mean I didn't get very, very sick. So I think, yes, I just think that a lot of women who like want the fat transfer don't normally have enough fat for it, but it can be very beautiful. Yeah.
That's a good point, because with breast augmentation, obviously, you know, most people have symmetric bodies. So someone who wants a larger breast is probably not very fat to begin with. Most of the time with reconstruction, it's different because reconstruction is due to an illness or a trauma. And so people of all sizes, women of all sizes can undergo those. But that's something I hadn't even thought of, that you probably don't have extra fat lying around in most cases if you came from a history of having breast augmentation.
We interrupt this podcast for an important segment.
Informed Dissent is proud to announce a new sponsor. Are you tired of skincare products filled with harmful chemicals and additives? Do you long for natural, wholesome solutions that are safe for your skin and the environment? Tallow. I've been using tallow cream for a long time. Tallow is a form of beef fat, and it is one of the most wonderful moisturizing products you could put on your skin, your hands, your face, your elbows, your feet. It is fantastic. Introducing Dandy Natural, a mother and daughter small business located right here in Newport Beach, California. They're dedicated to crafting all natural skincare products that are as pure as they are effective. Pamper your skin with their lavender and honey tallow balm, or use one of their products that I helped create with them, RX for Liberty Peppermint Tallow. It has a hint of peppermint and that sense of coolness when you put it on. That's the product I use every day. DandyNatural.com. Give it a go and let us know what you think.
Use the code IDM to get 10% off.
So Robin and Amanda, how do people find you if they want to learn more information or they want to get your help as a beauty coach or an advocate for being explanted?
I'm Robin Tout, and I'm on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn, just under that same name, Robin Tout, or you can go to our website, which is GPAC, G-P-A-C, GPACUnited.org, and we have a ton of information there, not just about breast implant illness, but also other medical devices that cause the same exact symptoms, like surgical mesh, dental implants, IUDs. It's a big problem, and I did want to piggyback really quick on what you guys said about women going in for like a lift. The very sad reality is I would say probably about 70% of the women that I talk to, except for breast cancer patients, that got implants really just went in asking a plastic surgeon for a breast lift. Like maybe they had three pregnancies and nursed three babies. Their breasts were a little bit saggy and they just wanted that upper pull volume. And they were talked into implants because it's easy money. It's a very easy surgery. They literally open the package of implants. They pop them in a, they make a very small incision, pop them in a killer funnel, shoot them into the patient's body, and then they sew them up. And they're also not giving proper informed consent. They are not telling women that when you go in for your first set of breast implants, you are not one and done. This, you are signing up for a lifetime of surgeries, maintenance, revisions, replacements, explant surgery. So every single, so if you're 21, 22 year old college kid and you want breast implants and augmentation for your graduation present, you know, you're signing up for at least 5 to 10 more surgeries. What are your breasts going to look like after all those surgeries? And that's if nothing goes wrong. You know, just maintaining them and switching them out whenever you need to. Every time you cut into that breast tissue, you're creating more scar tissue. You're creating more adhesions and tightness and stiffness and capsular contracture. So, you know, it's really unfortunate that the plastic surgery industry is a very predatory industry. And Amanda and I are super lucky that we have been able to meet some amazing surgeons through this journey. And that's why we're here, for people to reach out to. You know, I think I'm sick from my implants. What do I do? And we find out, where do you live? Let's help you find a surgeon. There's plenty of resources and support groups out there. So,
so Robin, you're on Instagram, and that's Robin, R-O-B-Y-N, last name, T like Tom, O-W-T, or GPAC. What does GPAC stand for?
The Global Patient Advocacy Coalition. We're worldwide.
Okay. Yep. Okay, wonderful. And Amanda, how do people find you?
Primarily on Instagram. I'm the Holistic Beauty Coach. I will be building up my YouTube as well. And, you know, I just want to say, too, it's so important to me to let women know as well the chemicals that are in these breast implants, because we didn't know. We all were sold, oh, saline safer, not being told that they also come in a shell of silicone with all of these horribly toxic chemicals. And so for me, it's really important that, again, no judgment, we can make our own decisions, but without proper informed consent, we have all agreed to put something in our precious bodies that we have no idea contain all of these horrific chemicals and heavy metals. So I really just want to educate women, and I hope that my Instagram, I try to do that. I just share my journey and what happened to me. And again, we're not doing it to fearmonger or to judge any women. We just want, you know, what's best for all women. Women sure deserve it. They all deserve that.
And somebody that has made a decision that they want to be explanted, how do they find a good surgeon?
I suggest there's so many like local support groups, whether it's like in your state or even in your region. Like the Northeast has a support group. The Northwest has a support group. There's a whole support group for Texas, Arizona, California. And then there's worldwide groups that are just a, like a random breast implant illness. If you pretty much do a Google search or a Facebook search and just type in those words, breast implant illness, a ton of resources will pop up. We also have a list of resources on the GPAC website. If you just click on the breast implant illness tab, there's a list of all the groups that we probably don't even know all of them. I mean, I think we're up to over 250 or 260 support groups now with hundreds of thousands of women. The largest group that I run, I think, is up to 40 or 45,000. And the biggest support group on Facebook is almost 200,000 now. I think they're at 190,000. So it's definitely, it's a problem. It's a women's health crisis. It's a global issue. And, you know, it's been kept in the last three decades. And really, it's up to us and our grassroots movement to get the word out there. So we appreciate being able to partner with you guys and help get the word out, not only to the medical community, but your followers and your listeners on your podcast. So thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Of course. Do you guys have thoughts on mammograms versus thermography?
Yeah, we talked about this on your live, actually. I had never had a mammogram in those years I was sick because I turned 40 in that time. And it was interesting when I started seeing Eastern practitioners, they all said to me, we didn't even know it was my breasts causing this issue. They said, whatever you do in the future, Amanda, do not get a mammogram. And I said, what do you mean don't get a mammogram? Isn't that what everybody does? But I started researching the radiation in mammograms. And there are several really great documentaries on it. And I did my research, and just for me, and I think everyone needs to do their own, I found about sonograms. They don't squeeze the breast, there's no radiation, and they can detect lesions smaller than mammography. A lot of women have not been detected through mammography and then Sonogram picked it up. And I actually created a holistic breast team, and I have a woman on my team from Sonobreasts that offer this treatment. But again, thermography is there too, but it's not recognized by Western medicine. So.
Do you feel similar, Robin?
So, I'm part of the breast cancer community, and it was my regular mammogram that found my breast cancer. So I do know that, you know, that is still the recommendation, but I also have concerns about the radiation because I'm actually a three-time cancer survivor. I had, you know, really heavy doses of radiation for my first cancer, Hodgkin's lymphoma, I had at age 23. And so that radiation exposure is what caused my breast cancer. And I've also had some skin cancer lesions removed where my radiation burns were the worst. So, you know, there's definitely concerns about that. But being a high-risk patient, when I did get my annual mammogram, I also would always get an ultrasound just to get another view. So I really think, like Amanda said, it's important to do your research. It's important to talk to your general practitioner or whatever doctor you're seeing and really do the research and decide what is best for you. And again, informed consent, weighing the options against, you know, the benefits and the risks, I think is so important. And it's not talked about enough. Informed consent is huge.
Yeah. Mark and I talk about that a lot.
Yeah. A lot of what you both just talked about could be applied to many other areas, in particular, the whole vaccine world. No one knows what they're putting in their bodies. And if they did, there probably be a far different percentage of acceptance of those products as well.
Absolutely. Robin and Amanda, thank you for joining us on Informed Dissent, and we'll have to do this again.
Absolutely. Oh, thank you both.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Informed Dissent with Dr. Jeff Barkey, board-certified primary care physician, and Dr. Mark McDonald, board-certified child, adolescent, and adult psychiatrist. Informed Dissent, the intersection of healthcare and politics.